Today's drawing and get yourself an experience you can share with your friends. You'll win a private party gift certificate for 10 people from Eastside Distilling in Portland. All you need to do is give a call to 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And Mike, I'm probably starting to sound like the alcoholic because I keep giving that pitch for the distillery tour, but it looks like fun.
You know, I just put it together why you might sound like an alcoholic pitching the distillery tour. But it's really not about, you know, anything bad. It's about people getting together, having a good time, being able to enjoy themselves. Kind of like I feel when I listen to KBOO for news and public affairs in the morning. I know it doesn't sound like a party, but it is, because I'm into edutainment. I'm into being informed. I'm into being enlightened. And that's why you're listening to KBOO right now. 877-500-5266. $240, you guys. That's $20 a month. It's an affordable donation. And what you get is a lot bigger than what you're paying for, because it goes beyond the dollar amounts. It purchases a field recorder for a reporter to take to events. It furnishes an incredible music library for broadcasts for 1 month. If you've ever been down here to 20 Southeast 8th and you've looked at the record library we have, it allows us to play all kinds of music from any genre you can imagine. Our news and public affairs, you're going to get that... that flash key, that flash drive with lots of news and public affairs on it for $10 a month. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, this is your opportunity to recommit to your community radio station, KBOO. In these challenging times where democracy is under threat, we need to band together, and you can show your support for KBOO by giving a call to 877-500-5266 or going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. Or you can go to your iPhone or iPad app, go to the home screen, and click on donate there. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is your radio station. And up next is Stage and Studio. Dee Mae Roberts is on break right now. She's going to be in a play coming up this month. And filling in for her is Susanna Mars. Susanna Mars talks to Rick Lewis, resident music director of Portland Center Stage, about their season opener, Fun Home. So don't miss that. And because we bring you all sorts of wonderful programming like that, you want to pick up the phone and call us at 877-500-5266. Make that donation. You will feel better about yourself doing that. We have some announcements coming up, and then also to let you know, Stage and Studio is brought to you by KBOO members and generous support from PD Expendables. PD Expendables Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Arri LED lighting, and they can be reached at 503-887-5880 or pdexpendables.com.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, a locally owned artisan bakery in Oregon and Washington, with many locations in Portland. For more, go to GrandCentralBakery.com. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, an award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Holy Moly, a food cart that serves Mexican mole, located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland, on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne, down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
K KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Speak for Peace, Thursday, September 21st at the HI Portland Hawthorne Hostel in Portland. Speak for Peace is a workshop that aims to develop the skills necessary to have constructive conversations when confronted with polarizing topics while recognizing and gracefully engaging with cultural differences. Again, that's Speak for Peace, Thursday, September 21st at 6 p.m. at the HI Portland Hawthorne Hostel, 3031 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now, a blast from the past, a little tidbit from the KBOO archives.
All the world is a stage. I know that's an old cliche, but how true most of the time. My world is the stage. I'm Darcel 15, female impersonator. Entertainment, information, world affairs are my business. To continue KBOO's business, they need your support. Pledge what you can and keep the entertainment, information, and world affairs on KBOO.
Daddy, comma. Hey, Daddy, come here, okay? Question mark. I need
Daddy,
you.
Daddy, come here, okay? I need you.
At the light, at the light, at the light, at the light. What are you doing, comma? I said, come here. You need
what are you doing?
To
I said,
do
come here.
What I tell
you need
you to
do what I tell you to do. Listen to me. Daddy, come here. Hey, right
at
here, right now.
Light.
You're making me mad. Listen to
how
me.
How does
listen
it feel to
me. Listen to me. I wanna play airplane.
You and
I wanna play airplane.
You and
I wanna play airplane.
I wanna put my arms out and fly.
Like you're a bear and a sun like Camel.
No, wait.
Like Superman.
Up in the sky.
Say something.
So I can see all of Pennsylvania.
Say something.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to KBOO's Stage and Studio. I'm Susanna Mars, and I'm filling in for Dimay Roberts. That was the original cast recording of Fun Home. And today, I am so fortunate to be sitting with Rick Lewis, the resident music director of Portland Center Stage. And currently, he is working on a musical by the name of Fun Home, which was written by Lisa Crone and Janine Tesori. Now, Rick's a creator, author, a musical arranger. He wrote The Taffetas, has productions around the world. He's written off-Broadway productions. He's arranged and written original music for Disney, UA Home Video, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and he lives here in Portland, and he's a remarkable artist, and we're so lucky to have him here. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You've been playing piano and composing and performing and music directing as long as I've known you. How did you come to it?
It's one of those things, sort of like as, there's a parallel a little bit to Fun Home. You have something sort of burning inside you and asked to come out. And I remember when I was at the age of five, watching Sammy Davis Jr. sing The Candyman on TV, black and white, and I went, I need to write this down. So I was five, and I got a piece of paper and a ballpoint pen, and I just started writing when it went up and down. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew there was a connection there to the music, and I had to preserve it somehow. And then I taught myself to play the piano, took out library books on how to read music, and sometimes we're just born with this seed that has to do something, and I listened to it.
That's remarkable because you didn't grow up in a place where it really that was an option for many people, right?
No. My dad was a Baptist minister, and the only music that was really allowed in the house was gospel music, of course, which is, you know, serves a wonderful purpose. But they really did not get what I wanted to do with music, let alone musical theater.
Wow. So, I mean, you really do have an alignment with this character of Allison.
Oh, in too many ways.
Oh, how is it to work on that with that kind of pouring through you?
Well, I mean, there's many parallels. Growing up with, and I'm revealing a lot here, growing up with a dad who was in the closet for his whole life. My siblings are not even aware of what I know. And my mother's the one who told me that my dad was gay. And they're both gone, so it's okay to talk about it.
Hmm.
That parallel there. So when I saw the show in New York, I had not heard a single song before. I sometimes like to be surprised that this word of mouth on the show was so keen. And so I went to see it. I heard Ring of Keys on the Tonys. That was basically my reference to it. And then I saw it, and I was a blubbering mess at the end of the show because I was watching my life. And I think the uncanny thing about the show is I know so many people who say to me all the time who don't have the same experience as I do, but they go, oh my God, that is my life. Mm. That is my life. Because I think there's so many statements and signals given during the show that just represent a family.
And finding oneself. I know when I saw Fun Home during Ring of Keys, which I'm going to play a little excerpt right now, the sniffling was audible throughout the entire audience of this young person finding and expressing through words and music her experience of seeing someone who she'd never seen before, who really connected her to who she is.
You didn't notice her at first, but I saw her the moment she walked in. She was a delivery woman. She came in with a handcart full of packages. She was an old school butch.
Someone just came in the door, like no one I ever saw before. I feel I don't know where you came from. I wish I did. I feel so dumb. I feel your swagger and your bearing and just right clothes you're wearing, your short hair and your dungarees and your lace-up boots and your keys. Oh, your ring of keys.
It's so fascinating because you heard their two voices, a young person and then an older person, and they're the same character. It's Allison at various times in her life.
There are three of them. There's small Allison who sings Ring of Keys. There's medium Allison, as she's referred to in the script, who is college-age Allison, who actually then comes to terms in a beautiful way with being a lesbian. And then there's big Allison, who is actually the crux of the story, if I can go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big Allison's, the whole focus of the story is Allison, based on the incredible graphic artist Alison Bechdel, is trying to fit the pieces together of some unfinished answers about her dad's suicide, and going back and looking at her life and turning it into these panels, which she did in this incredible graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show is constructed in a series of panels as well. So we go from scene to scene.
It's fun to tell everybody that the title Fun Home comes from the fact that Allison's father and mother had a family funeral home. So Fun Home comes from funeral home. And I'll play in a little bit an excerpt from a hilarious commercial that the kids in the family at a young age developed for the funeral home. It's mm-hmm. incredible. So speak a little bit more about Allison's father and his journey in the piece, as much as you feel that you can.
Well, time period. So, you know, socially, it's in the 70s. In his 40s, died, and the assumption is suicide. And it was the 70s. And if you think about what a gay male representation of the 70s was, it's, you know, there's a visual look that we think of, you know, with the short shorts and the army boots and the wool socks and the tank tops. And so we had these very vivid depictions of what a gay male was. And I don't think we're, you know, in the 70s, we weren't as tolerant or as open to anything that was not, as the religious right would like to say, the traditional family. And so I think it must have been really difficult for a man to marry in the early 60s, have kids. That's what you had to do. I don't think he had a choice to say, hey, I might be gay, let me explore this. That's just not what, it wasn't really a common thing.
Right. It's so interesting. I mean, the discoveries that Allison makes are absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to KBOO Stage and Studio. I'm Susanna Mars with Rick Lewis from Portland Center Stage, and we're talking about Fun Home, which is going to open Portland Center Stage's 2017-2018 season. So, musically speaking, you're the music director. Uh-huh. How do you help these three actors come into being one character?
Well, it's fortunately, when you're working with a composer like Janine Tesori,
mm-hmm.
and then Lisa Krohn's incredible, and the book, so much is given to us. It's one of those really rare gems of a musical. It's so clear the story that each is telling. So when we're storytelling more than singing, and that's what's incredible about this score. There's some absolutely beautiful and exquisite musical moments, but when you take them apart and you try and go, well, what's really gorgeous? Is it the melody? No, it's the marriage of the melody and this incredible story that's happening.
Mm.
Because there's some musical ideas that if you took the lyric and the story away, would that catch your ear? Yes, but would it be as compelling? No.
Mm.
And I think once you take each lady, and you have small Allison, medium Allison, and Allison, and you have them tell their story with these notes, and we're not looking at it as a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. It's like, how would I express that idea without music? And then we take that and we put the music on, and the words feel different. So the cool thing is with these three ladies, they're all singing words and telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the show, the three of them come together in this finale about flying away.
Mm-hmm.
And what's uncanny with all three of these women is it sounds like one voice split into three-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely exquisite. And the writing is gorgeous. So they're smart. They're paying attention to what Lisa Krohn and Janine Tesori said. How can they not win?
It's so interesting because even as you describe it, of course, it is when they finally sing together, when they become one, and each of their voices is a piece of her,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is just, oh, gives me the chills.
It's difficult being in the room with that number.
Oh, I imagine. Well, I'll play the excerpt of the 70s song, which is actually really fun because you wrote a musical that was based on 70s music.
Yeah, I did. It was the last show I took to New York. It opened 2 weeks before Rent, and so nothing else happened. And it was a spoof of Up With People.
Right.
And we got great reviews. We just weren't Rent.
Right. Right. You and Floyd Collins.
There you go.
It just cracked me up when I saw that because, I mean, I just thought about the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family. It is hilarious. It's so much fun.
Oh, it is. It is. It's such an homage to all of that. But I think with the kids growing up, it's not like Allison in college decided that she was going to be a lesbian because you don't make that choice. But she didn't come to terms with it, and suddenly her life became questionable. I think these three kids growing up in a funeral home with an abusive father,
mm-hmm.
Was dealing with his own demons and not necessarily the best household because he's trying to live in this perfect model, you know, family. I don't think their life was not perfect.
Mm.
And so they could go to TV and fantasy, and that's where, like all of us, that's what our family did.
Well, so interesting, too, because both of the parents were perfectionists. The mm-hmm. father, Bruce is the name, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yep, and Helen?
Helen.
They are perfectionists in their areas, Helen being a pianist and
an actress.
And wanting, you know, perfection in everything she plays, and Bruce being a restorer of antiques, and uh-huh. even their home is basically a museum almost.
Yes, and he's an English teacher, and she's mm-hmm. a teacher as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that it's so fascinating. You know, of course, Allison's an incredible artist, a visual artist, and has that sense of accuracy in her work. And then she has this incredible creativity and this ability to go outside the lines.
Very much, particularly when she, you know, I think her big moment in the spotlight is Fun Home. Mm. So to take her gift as an artist and then to open up her soul and put it on paper in small panels, that's huge.
Yeah, the book is so beautiful. Go pick up that book. It's at the library. You can pick it up at a bookstore, and it's just lovely. You'll want to take a look at it, especially if you see the show. It's fascinating to see how the show was birthed from this book.
Oh, it's amazing how it just opens up, and you go, well, of course there should be a song there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most curious to see how Alison Bechdel responded when she first saw it enlivened on its feet with a band.
Oh, I bet it must have been extremely emotional.
It has to be. Mm-hmm. Has to be.
So I'm just curious, what are the kinds of music that have had impact on you, and what would be the first thing that you heard that you thought, well, that's, well, I guess it was Sammy Davis Jr. and the Candyman.
Probably back then, you know, a little bit of the bubblegum stuff. I remember going to Canada with my family on vacation and listening to Beach Boys on the radio with my aunt. I'd never really heard them before. But I do have to say that when I was in high school, it was the Carpenters.
Mm.
Again, very 70s. And then my dad threw away my Carpenters album because he didn't want, quote-unquote, rock and roll in the house.
Oh.
So, but that was probably the biggest influence for me. And I think that's also where I learned to hear sounds and clusters of notes together, and working with voices as a mass sound as opposed to just solos.
Mm. Yeah, it's really beautiful. The harmonies they created are incredible. So this is a mountain of a show, emotionally and musically. How do you, you know, meet it out during the rehearsal process, and how do you come up with your plan for the whole process?
Well, fortunately, you know, collaborating with Chris Coleman is like it's a wonderful experience, because Chris and I have developed a really good vocabulary and a good working relationship, and so we pretty much bounce off of each other. But like this week, we're, you know, staging the show. I think we're almost finished staging it, except for like maybe 2 minutes of it, and it really is finding out what serves the piece the most. So when you're dealing with something this emotionally heavy, teaching the music, you can sort of remove yourself from the emotional process.
Mm-hmm.
When we're staging it, and the last third of the show is, you know, very very emotional, mm-hmm. and very raw, we just have to be cognizant of what are we getting out of this next 10 minutes that we're going to be working on,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that the actor is informed, and then we can go on to something that's not going to make us want to kill ourselves on the way home. It's not depressing.
No,
it is not
at all. It's so
emotionally charged is really what it is.
I agree. It's so opening, you know, it just, the whole show really opens your heart. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think when I said I was bawling at the end of the show, and not because I was sad or not, it just had an impact mm-hmm. on my soul, and mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever responded to a show that way. In fact, it was the first night I went to go cast Little Shop of Horrors for Portland Center Stage last year. So I went to New York. First night I was there, I got half-price tickets to TKTS and Fun Home, fabulous seats, and went to see it. Normally when I go to New York, I'll try and see a show as many times as I can. I saw Fun Home. It absolutely destroyed me. And I said, I can't see anything else this week. I will not see anything that's going to eclipse my response to the show, because you don't always get to respond this way to a musical.
Yeah, I agree. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Susanna Mars, in for D-May Roberts, with Rick Lewis from Portland Center Stage, who is currently music directing the show at Portland Center Stage, Fun Home, opening their 2017-2018 season.
What was your first theater piece?
That I saw?
Mm-hmm.
My first theater piece that, oh my God, it was back in the 20s. No, my first, I so don't, because we weren't really allowed to go to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
My first, well, okay, it would be a show that I was in high school. It was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Oh, who'd you play?
Toynbee, a little kid in the chorus.
Oh, how great.
And my dad came to see a show, because he is Bruce, came to see a rehearsal. And I was so excited because my dad actually got to catch a few minutes of it. Mm. And afterwards, he created a huge stink, was going to pull me out of the show, and was going to give a lecture to the director and tell him he shouldn't be doing such an abomination.
Oh.
And that made me want to do theater even more. Thanks, Dad.
Typical parental. Any parent says, don't do it. So pay attention, parents.
Exactly.
Yes, it's wonderful. I think it's a great idea to dance naked in the streets. So when you're not doing theater, which is most of the time, I know that you've got an incredible conservatory for music, the Bridgetown Conservatory. You're working there, undoubtedly,
yes.
Probably taking a little bit of break right now.
Yeah, we start classes in 2 weeks on the 16th.
Mm-hmm, that's incredible. And then when you're not at Bridgetown or at Portland Center Stage, then what are you doing in your quote-unquote free time?
Well, my partner and I just bought 5 acres in La Center, which is a little farm. We have a barn. We have a chicken coop. We have 10 chickens in the coop. We have 5 dogs. We're going to get 2 goats next year.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, for me, when I'm not doing anything else, I'm sitting in my backyard watching my partner do all the things he wanted to do on a 5-acre farm. And I'm in a hammock or playing with our 5 dogs.
Did his parents say, never farm?
Probably.
So I'm curious, what role models did you have growing up? I mean, obviously your parents weren't, really positive about the type of role models that I would assume you might have with your love of music and theater. How did you navigate the people that you really wanted to get a look at?
I don't know. And I've never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my role models, honestly, would have been scattered and strewn throughout my, if I were to do a graphic novel and open up, it'd probably be ridiculous to follow. I think it was probably any adult who seemed honest and made sense to me. Because the one thing I learned from my father as a Baptist minister, and actually I knew something was not, you're young and you're like with Ring of Keys, you can't really sense what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, and you can't put those words to it until you're an adult, when something is not honest and something is not authentic,
mm-hmm.
something doesn't ring right. And I think when I met someone who seemed invested in me and seemed honest and consistent, those were the people that I were drawn to. Probably my biggest role model was my high school music teacher, who said for the first time to me, and I have it in the senior gift that he gave me when I graduated high school, it said, I know in my heart that you can do whatever you choose to do.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And it was the first time somebody said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I started Bridgetown, is because I know that as a child who wants to perform or wants to do anything, sometimes all we need to do is hear someone that we trust,
mm-hmm.
who's been there, say, you can do it. You can do anything you want.
Right. And you have many wonderful teachers at Bridgetown.
Fabulous. Laura and Dell, they're both with Broadway experience, and we work on helping kids who just have a germ of wanting to do a musical theater career discover that, yes, they can.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me. And Fun Home is going to be at Portland Center Stage at the U.S. Bank Main Stage, September 16th through the 22nd. And you can find tickets at pcs.org. And I'm going to play you out with another little excerpt from Fun Home. So enjoy it.
I want to play airplane.
You and I.
I want to play airplane.
You and I.
I want to play airplane.
I want to put my arms out and fly.
Like you're a bear in a sunlight like camel.
No, wait.
Like Superman.
Up in the sky.
Say something.
Till I can see all of Pennsylvania.
Say something.
Hey, thank you for listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Mike. I'm here with Ray. This is the Fall Membership Drive, and you are listening to KBOO.FM 90.7 KBOO Portland. You can call us at 877-500-5266 to show your support for Stage and Studio. We've got a $380 goal, and we've got thank you gifts. For $120, you can have a pair of tickets to Fun Home. You've been listening to excerpts from Fun Home on the air. Man, that show sounds fun. It sounds amazing. It sounds very amusing and entertaining. Again, for $120, that's $10 a month, you can get a pair of thank you gifts. We've got a goal of $380 right now, so give us a call, 877-500-5266.
And Mike, we need to take a moment and thank one of the recent callers. Tom from Vancouver gave a call. And no, he didn't give a call. He stopped in person to renew his membership. So thank you for that. We appreciate it, Tom. And this is really your opportunity, everyone's opportunity, to show their support for KBOO. The public affairs program you hear runs from the political to the educational to the artistic, as you've just heard, and all of it is because of your ongoing support. This is your opportunity to join the KBO community, and we would like to suggest that one way to do it is with a sustaining membership, perhaps $25 a month charged to your credit card, and if you were to do that, you would be able to get one of our highly fashionable KBOO hooded sweatshirts with the famous star logo on the front and the back. And this is a wonderful opportunity to show your commitment to the radio station and show off your colors around town. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
That's right. Become a member now. Be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is going to get you an experience you can share with your friends. You win a